I will hear from wrong, and I'll die in the
earth. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Defender 7 Monday Night Missing Persons Show. I'm your host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby, along with your co-host, our major, Lorna Munson. Before we get on with our show, let me welcome those of you new just tuning in to us. Just to let you know, check us out on our Facebook national page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you click on that join button, just know we expect you to, all of our members and future members, to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defender 7. You get in and you feel that you cannot participate or don't want to participate or don't want anything to do with us, you may leave. No hard feelings. We're more than just a group. We consider ourselves one big extended family, and we treat each other as such. Also, hop over to YouTube, check out our YouTube channel. Do us a favor and hit that subscribe button for us. We're also on MeWe. Click on organization, scroll down. Defender 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. We have a website. If you type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small I's, .com. On our site, you will find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from our sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. We're not like the other groups where they keep 90% and only distribute 10%. All 100% goes back to our communities. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store. Give us some ideas on what you'd like to see in our store. Or hit that donate button. Not asking for a lot. Donate 50 cents, 25 cents. I don't care. Help us to help you and your community in a time of need. That's the only way that we are possibly able to lend a hand when something happens. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, I know you may be stage fright, so if you don't feel like talking on the phone, we also have a chat room here. So come on in. We are live during all of our broadcasts here. If you would like to call in, that number to call area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. Now, just a little information on what we're doing our show on. If you've followed us and have listened to our previous missing persons cases, just to let you know, Defender 7 backs all of our first responders, for one. And number two, all of our veterans and civilians. And it's a personal goal of myself that I've been involved in several cases of trying to help to find the missing. And I've been doing it for quite a few years. So it touches home to me. That's why we support everybody that's out there trying to help find these missing people, trafficked, murdered. And as of 2021, the numbers are just staggering, and it's getting worse. There's new people out there doing tactics to grab our kids and grab our adults. Yes, people, we're not just in it for the missing children. It's all missing, military included. And I'm a very strong advocate of the missing. So if you know something, say something. Excuse me. If you have your own personal story, call us up or hop into our chat room. You could do it anonymously. Stepping on my tongue, sorry. We will not give your name. All I know is that we need the whole country to look out for anything suspicious and any missing persons, children, adults. And let's help bring family closures, and let's help bring them home, one way or the other. So if you see a missing poster on social media, it doesn't take but 2 seconds to share it. Click that share button and share them posters. That gets it going around the country also. I mean, even if you can't get out there in the community and search for these missing, that's one way of helping from the sidelines. And I reiterate, I mean, I use my own time, my own money, and have done quite a few searches myself, not only in my own state here in South Carolina, but also in Virginia. And I've been up as far as Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so it doesn't take much to share a flyer, though. I don't expect everybody to go run out and do what I do. But, again, I'd like to welcome you all. Thank you for tuning in. And I will be bringing your co-host, our major pain in the butt, Lorna Munson. And we also have Miss Maria Delamain from Pennsylvania. Welcome, ladies.
Hey, looking forward to the show as usual. Yep, and I am definitely the major pain.
Oh, and you're finally awake, too.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, this isn't nice. It's dark out and I have to stay awake.
How's my Ralphie boy?
Oh, he's loving it here. He's happy. He's starting to play.
I see that. I see that in the pictures. That's great. We do miss you guys. I mean, I hate to admit it on open air, but you know,
it's my sparkling personality, isn't it?
No, it's not. It was all the fun of picking on you face to face.
I could send you a picture.
Oh, now you're threatening to scare me?
Yep.
So anyways, out of you two ladies that are on here now, do you know of any missing? Have you ever gone through, I mean, whether it be a family member, a friend, or a friend of a friend?
I had a cousin many years ago that was kidnapped, I believe, out of Minneapolis or in the city somewhere. And she was the one that I talk about every once in a while. It was in that book called The Minnesota Connection. And they trafficked her. They took her out of Minnesota and put her in a state, and I don't remember which state it was. So with that being said, people say, well, they're not missing from my state. Why should I share it? Well, they haul them all over the place. If they're stealing them from Minnesota, they could end up in Texas. You just don't know. So wherever you are, just share them, whether they're in your area or not.
I do.
Right. Just like, and Lorna, you know, because I told you about the case down here. When you first moved here with us, I did the case down here, and come to find out it was the grandmother. I mean, I'm not going to give no names, but it was the grandmother that had the child, and it was all for a publicity stunt and notoriety. Is why she did what she did. The child was not missing. The child had been at the parents, at the grandmother's house the whole time.
That's BS.
Well, she messed her own case up because she posted on social media pictures of them being down in Disney.
Wow. Yeah, everything turned out okay, but my brother, when I was about 18, my brother disappeared, and he was only like 14, and he was cute. I mean, strawberry blonde hair, white freckles. I mean, you know, he was very, very pretty boy, long, you know, hair and everything. And actually, he went off with a trucker that nobody knew. And so we were, or at least none of us knew, so we were terrified. We thought he had been taken. And I even left work to go try and find him. And we found out, you know, that the trucker was known, but he went off without permission. You know what I mean? They didn't know, and he went cross country. And like I said, he was only, I think, like 14 at the time. So though everything in the end turned out okay, it was a terrifying, you know, 48 hours. And I totally can get how these family members can feel when their child or sibling or whatever disappears, and they have no idea, you know, where they are, whether they're dead or alive. And it doesn't take, you know, and the police, you know, even though he was only 14, they still don't want to go looking right away.
Yeah, they. I agree with that aspect. They do have to come up with a better solution with that, because I'm tired of hearing the cases where, oh, the police dropped the ball because the family called to report missing, and, oh, well, you got to wait 24 to 48 hours to report the missing. No, 24 to 48 hours is the hours.
That's the most crucial.
That, exactly. The most critical hours in the first of an investigation. Now, we lucked out. My very first case I ever went on, I was still in the military. One of my brother's kids went missing, and within 18 hours after we got the call, we found him. So there was no time for whatever was in the dude's head. Nothing happened, thank God. But yes, Maria, that goes back to, I mean, that was part of my family. Not blood related, but that was part of my family.
Right.
And believe me, I know what you felt at that time, because I can honestly say I was put through the same thing.
That's why I said, I mean, we lucked out that, you know, he was found. I mean, you know, he got trouble for, you know, taking off like that. But, you know, but still, I mean, and the police were apologetic, but they just, you know, he was at that age that has a tendency to run away, and he probably was just, you know, some friend was hiding him or something. And,
sure.
Yeah, it was a very scary time, and it's like, I don't care if friends hiding it. I almost lost my job behind that, because I'm sorry, my baby brother comes first, you know. And but yeah, we got lucky, but a lot of people don't.
Oh, that I know, and in that aspect, that was our motto in the service. I don't care if I'm deployed or attached somewhere, and something happens. You know what? That's my family. Family comes first.
Right.
Mm. Yep.
Always.
But a lot of these people that are going around now, they're not just running around. Everybody thinks a van. No. You see the stories all over social media. Now, granted, you can't believe the fake news or some of these posts, but if somebody tells you that, you know, you come out of a grocery store and there's a paper on your windshield, don't touch it. Those stories are true. And it's not just one person doing it. There's usually a team of two or more people in that parking lot.
Right.
And they also got one in the store following you around. So they already know who they pick out before you even come out of the store. And I argue with my wife all the time, because she says, oh, yeah, you know, I keep an eye on my surroundings. Well, my daughter Savannah is 18, and I taught her at a young age to always be aware of your surroundings.
Right.
Now, she can't carry a gun legally here, but she can carry a knife. And let me tell you something, you don't want to mess with her with a knife.
What?
And
no,
but
I,
the
yeah,
thing is that when her and I go to the store and we come out, she's watching my and I it gives me a good feeling inside, because I catch her out the corner of my eye. I don't let her know that I'm looking while I'm putting
things
in the car.
You shouldn't have to be in that position. You know what I mean?
No.
We shouldn't be in a world like that.
No, but in the same token, you don't want to have your head down in the sand either. I didn't teach my kids this to fear them. I taught them how to be safe.
No, I understand.
And she's even caught her own mom when she went to the store with her, and she says, "See, Mom, you don't even pay attention. That guy that was behind us, he could have been a bad guy, and he could have grabbed your purse. He could have grabbed you."
Bobby, that reminds me. Did you see that story of that 9-year-old girl that saved her mom from having her purse taken?
Yes. Yes. Now, you know, Lorna can back me up. My daughter is I'm 5'11". My daughter's almost. She's at eye level with me. So she's a pretty tall kid, and she's getting taller.
Yep.
And she acts like the little ditzy, ditzy teenager. But guess what? Yeah, there's some aspects of her life that I'm trying to change, but the one thing, other than hunting, the one thing that I know I instilled in her was not fear. It was waking her up to the fact that, you know, I got to start watching what's going on. This way, if she decides to go off to college, I don't have to be overly feared or overly protective because I did my job.
See, and that's another thing, too. You know, everybody's like, "Oh, well, you know, you got to teach the kids not to be fearful." And it's like, no, that's not true. I mean, no, you don't. You have, if you say, "Oh, well, I'm not afraid of anything," that's actually not a good thing. I mean,
no.
It's like bravery is not lack of fear. Bravery is doing what needs to be done in spite of the fear. And that's what kids need to learn, is that it's actually okay to be afraid, because that's a good tool for you to pay attention to what the hell is going around you.
That's a good emotion to have. All of us. There's not a lot that fears me in this world. The only one honest to goodness fear I got is somebody taking one of my family members.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. It's not that you want to be afraid of everything. That's not what I meant. But it's okay to say, you know, you're afraid of something. You know, it's a fear, and because you have that fear of with your family members, you're paying attention to what the heck is going on around.
Right. And that's the whole point. That's what I keep saying is, you know, it's not instilling fear. I'm not trying to be the government and tell you got to have a COVID vaccine. You got to run by my mandate. I want you to know that, you know, yeah, there's good in the world. There's bad in the world.
Right.
But you walk out the door, you could be scooped up within a matter of seconds. And if you got your head down and not paying attention, or, God forbid, there could be a fight going on not far from you, and you don't hear it at first, and then all of a sudden a shot rings out, and guess who gets shot? You do.
Right.
So that's all I say is, you know, I do the same thing that I always do when I'm going into a store, when I'm coming out of a store. I'm not just searching a parking lot. I'm looking for other things, too. Because sometimes I get that gut feeling that something's going to happen. That's what makes me really scour the area.
I like PragerU, so I watch some of their shows, you know, not just the five-minute things, but, like, I like Amala and Will. They're young people, and they have a show. And today they had that guy, that FBI, retired FBI guy that made that movie. At least I think that's who it was. He does, you know, The Missing Children. And he was saying that because of the COVID lockdown, last year alone, there were an extra million kids missing that are being conditioned for to be taken, and that you don't that they don't know about because, you know, and when they defund the police, they're not getting rid of the police officers that are out on the street that might arrest a black guy or shoot a black guy. They're getting rid of the ones that are going to be looking for children and sex offenders, because he was saying the police that are out on the street, they're reactive. They're the reactive police, you know, the ones that act immediately on a murder or a bank robbery or whatever, whereas the ones that go after the pedophiles and the ones that are taking children, the human traffickers, they're the ones that are proactive. So they're actually, I guess, they have to chase down the criminals to find them. So they're actually looking for the criminals before they commit the crime. And he said that those are the ones they have a tendency to get rid of first. So it was really a good talk, but he was saying that thanks to COVID, you know, because of the COVID lockdown, there were like a million more children alone last year that disappeared or went into the bad system, you know, the system that trains them type of thing.
Right. Well, I mean, another perfect example down here. You got our one sheriff's department in the one county over that is under investigation for part of trafficking.
That's really sad when the people that are supposed to be protecting the children are the ones putting them in danger.
Right, and then you got to look at the fact that it all comes down to, once again, like just like about more so than not, the money. That's why they do it.
It's all about the Benjamin.
Okay, so starting with the highest rate of missing persons by far is in sparsely populated Alaska with 41.8 missing people per 100,000 of the population.
I have heard that before, actually.
I never would have thought of that. I would have thought that, you know, I mean, is it the native children that are missing, or, I mean, you know what I mean?
The bigger cities are very nasty. My uncle used to minister up there, and there it's all, or I can't say all, but the majority is a lot of drinking and drugging up there, like in Anchorage, and I don't remember the city was ministering, and it wasn't Anchorage.
Yeah, it was out of Joliet, Alaska.
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, according to even NAMIS, they call it, which is the huge database, which is funded by the Department of Justice, more than 600,000 persons of all ages go missing every year. And approximately 4,400 unidentified bodies are recovered every year.
Drug overdoses?
What's that, Beth?
The ones that are the unidentified drug overdoses, possibly?
That or just, you know, they're
dumped.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're done with them, and they get rid of the body. And it says, you know, the vast majority of missing person cases are resolved relatively quickly. For example, in 2012, there were 661,000 missing persons cases reported. More than 659,000 of them were resolved within a year. Additionally, researchers say that the number of missing person cases has declined over the past decade as better communication has made it easier to keep in touch with and track persons still. More than 17,000 missing person cases and 13,000 unidentified body cases remain open in the United States.
Right.
And in absolute terms, California has the largest number of missing persons at 2,133. But California's rate of missing persons is fairly average at 5.4 missing persons per 100,000.
Wow.
But, you know, it gives California's number one. Florida's number two with 1,252. Texas comes in at third with 1,246. Arizona, number four, 915. Washington, 643. Number six, New York, is 606. Number seven is Michigan with 556. Number eight, Oregon, 432. Number nine is Pennsylvania with 401. Tennessee is number 10 with 361. But you got to realize something. That's only what's counted so far.
Right.
I know there's more than just that. There's got to be.
That's the same with
what's that, Lauren?
That's the same with the what I found on well, this is in 2020 that I was looking. I couldn't find nothing for 2021 with the cops killed.
Right.
The numbers aren't right. I know damn well they got to be higher than what they are.
Yeah, they got, like I said, they have to be because, I mean, I'm seeing a lot on this graph, and the other remaining states are low numbers, and I know for a fact some of these states have more than what's reported on here.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that, unfortunately, that brings out the bad in people is social media when it comes to the flyers, because you get a lot of these idiots that claim they're investigators and and I'm not going to name no groups, but there's a few groups out there that they only take on missing person cases that have rewards.
Yeah, really high rewards.
Yes. And that's when you get a lot of the kooks coming out of the cracks, contacting the families and, oh, I could do this for you, I could do that for you. And then the where's the other one at?
I just seen a news break to a shoot, let me see if I can find it, 98-year-old or 89-year-old was just found. He was missing for 3 days, and they found him dead.
Oh, yeah, in Aiken, South Carolina.
Yeah.
They had his, his house was robbed, and
87
they hid his body behind a door and put furniture in front of it.
Oh, that's a different one, because this one here is a 87-year-old missing for 3 days, found dead in a neighbor's yard, and a California cop says.
Oh, yeah, that's the second one. Yeah, that's the second one. That was the second one. Now I know which one you were talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, even with missing persons, I'm also involved with a dear friend of mine that her son was a awesome college football player. I've had her on the show. She was one of the first interviews that I had done on our blog talk. And I'm sure you've seen flyers, Tanner's Voice.
Yes.
Okay, well, his mother is a good friend of mine. And from day one, the police messed this case up something fierce and tried to blame it on the family. Well, thank goodness there's a podcaster out there that is heavily involved in finding out truth, and it's called Can't Stop, Won't Stop. They have put so much pressure on the Indiana law enforcement on this case that they reopened it. And see, this woman appeared on shows like Dr. Oz and I Can't Stand That Bitch, the blonde hair lady, the crime reporter.
Oh.
She's got her own freaking show. Big Mouth. I can't stand her.
What station?
I forget what station. I want to say A&E, the crime shows.
Oh, I don't watch those, yeah.
I've seen it like once.
But these two in themselves, along with the police department, put her down. And, like, even after having the live interview with her, they cut her off right at the seams and then turned around and started bad-mouthing her and her family and saying that they didn't find no crime in what the college kids were trying to hide. I mean, they really put her through the ringer, and she's finally now this happened back in 2015, she's finally now getting the justice. He's finally now getting the justice that he should have been handed back in 2015 when he died. So, you know, it's not, again, I know it's a little bit off topic of tonight's show, but I just wanted to put that in there because she also belongs to a lot of the missing groups with me.
Right.
Same as the podcaster that I mentioned, Can't Stop, Won't Stop. They fight for the underdog.
Right.
They schedule protests. They go to court with the families and all of that. And it's a husband and wife team, and they're awesome. How they get into these cops' heads and get them to reopen cases that should have been, you know, fully investigated. And just like the other lady that I'm friends with that I had on our show, she was one of the survivors of an abductor. And just like she was saying during our show, and even in the reports, there's still a quarry that they still have not dived down to see if there's any bodies down there from this serial killer.
Because they don't want to know.
No, in this case, I think it's, again, money. It's who you know. Because whoever bought the property apparently was either friends or family of the person that died that had that property. You know, the quarry.
The suspected killer?
No. The ones that are helping the serial killer.
That's what I meant. Because
he was caught. He was caught. But they still wanted to know, because he wouldn't give up any locations or any other information on any other missing people.
And they can't use criminal investigation as a reason for going against whether they want them to do it or not?
Well, because at the time, whoever owned the quarry had a tight relationship with the law enforcement.
Oh, I see. You meant that the law enforcement was corrupt.
Right.
Yeah, not surprised.
So, I mean, you know, it's sad. And just getting back to what you all said earlier, that we need to change it, is, you know, I don't care if you're 10. I don't care if you're 45. Why do you got to wait 48 hours? If you know
yeah.
a person in your family that you know, you either talk to them at least once a day or even once a week, or you're constantly texting. I do it with my family. So you're not going to tell me.
You know what doesn't make sense, Bobby, is you can ask for a wellness check. So you can ask for a wellness check on somebody you know is probably home, and the police won't second question you. They'll just go out and do it. But if you say you think that your 18-year-old daughter is missing and it's not typical for her to not come home from school, you know, and here it is 2 hours past the time that she's usually home, and they're going to tell you, oh, well, she's 18, we got to wait 24 hours. And it's
right.
Like, why? Why can't you go look for her? Now, if you find her and she's doing something and she doesn't want to be bothered, fine. Then don't tell us. I mean, have her, you know, tell her, or just say, you know, everything's okay or something. But, you know, you can't have people keep going thinking, you know, that something's wrong with their child or their sibling or their parent or their spouse.
Right, and it goes to the same thing too with it all has to do with timing, and you know, with the way these cops sometimes respond to these cases, it's not right. I mean, if you wait to the 24 hours or whatever, again, getting back to what I was saying about texting and all that. If you know for a fact, because I know there's some cops out there, Maria, don't get me wrong, that show up for a wellness check and the lights are on in the house, but we don't see no activity and they leave. And you don't hear nothing about it. Or They make the report, you know, nobody was home when we went there. So when you get that call that nobody was at the house And then you say, well, I'd like to open up a missing persons case then. Oh, then they go back into their, oh, well, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow morning and call missing persons. Or you're going to have to wait 24 more hours.
Yeah, but see, that shouldn't be the case, yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. They'll do a wellness check, which, you know, at the drop of a hat, but as soon as you mention, like you said, the missing person, whether or not they actually go in and look or whatever, some do, some may not, I don't know. But my point is, you know, when you say I need a wellness check, you know, I haven't heard from my mom or whatever, and she was supposed to call me, they'll go do it. But if you say, oh, my mom is missing, oh, no, 24 hours, like you just said. And it's you know, and that's, I don't, it makes no sense. Like I said, I can understand, comes, you know, if an adult, you know, a husband wants to leave his wife or a wife wants to leave her husband or they're cheating or they don't want anybody to know where they are type of thing. I can understand that, you know, but I can understand their reasoning. But like I said, so then what you do is if you find them and that's the situation, then you just say something, I don't know, but you should still go and look for them so that at least you as a police officer know what's going on.
Right. But, you know, and I sometimes think that's what they do. They wait it out because, especially if it's an adult, oh, well, maybe there's something going on between the spouse and there's secrets.
Well, here's one right here where there's a missing 12-year-old boy out of Rapid City. They reported him. He was last seen on Sunday, and they didn't report him until today. Or couldn't report him, I should say.
Well, see, that to me sounds suspicious.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like my wife's nephew when he went missing, what was it, last month? I had posted it on our Facebook page. He was 15, and thank God he was with another family member that didn't want to come forward and say, oh, he ain't missing. He's with me because he had a fight with the family. Now, in that case, and I said it to my brother-in-law, I said, in that case, I would have pressed charges against that relative. Granted, I was the same way with my nephews, you know, with my family when they were young. But I always told them, I don't care that you come to me. I love it that you think that this is the safest place for you.
But your parents know where you are.
Exactly.
No, see, we got this thing called texting. I would have texted my sibling and said, hey, look, so is here. Don't worry. Just let it go, and I'll talk to you later.
Right. Well, you got to think of where they're coming from, too. They're from North Carolina, so, and they're very quiet, tight family.
So they want their siblings to worry?
Well, I mean, like I said, they're dealing with that now. So, because when I first found out and I started calling around, I told them, let me know, you know, where he was last spotted. I'll be right there because it's only an hour and a half from me.
Them in my prayers, you know.
No, he's back home. He's back home.
No, but it sounds like they're going to have family issues.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, and a lot of times that's what happens. It's a family member that might be thinking they're doing the right thing.
Well,
but in terms of the law, they're not.
No, they're not. They're not even doing the right thing for the kid. My sister has told all her kids, look, you want to leave, you want to run away for a few hours, or go over to a friend's house, go ahead. Do it if you're upset. But let me know, you know, when you get where you're going. You know, don't go out the window. Go out the front door, you know, so that we're, you know, we're not worried.
Well,
and,
see,
and the kids worry.
But see, you got to think on a kid's level, too. I mean, yeah, hey, was I wrong for what I did with my nieces and nephews? In the eyes of the law, at first, yeah, but no. Because eventually, with them being at my house, after the first hour of sitting them down and talking to them, they texted their mom and dad.
Oh,
I'm at
yeah,
Uncle
yeah.
Bob's.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
fine.
See,
it doesn't have to be immediate.
Right. And see, that's these other ones that just take the kids and don't say nothing. Yeah, they should be charged.
No, I agree. I mean, I can see if the kid comes over at 4 o'clock and you want to talk to them and calm them down, but then come, you know, dinner time, especially depending on the age of the child, you need to be either trying to convince them to contact their parents, or you need to be contacting their parents and say, hey, look, so-and-so is over here. He's still upset. I'll have him call you as soon as he calms down, type of thing, just so that the parent's not worrying. I don't have kids, like I said. You know, I've had my nieces and nephews, you know, come and want to talk to me, but their mom knows where they are. But that's what I would do. I mean, you know. Oh, I don't know. I mean, is it something the way, I don't know. I mean, has it always been like this and we just didn't notice?
It could, you know.
No,
laws,
no, I don't think it's.
In terms, go ahead, Lorna, I'm sorry.
I don't think it's been this bad. I know a lot of it wasn't talked about, but I think it's getting a lot worse nowadays, especially with all the foreigners coming in.
Well, no, I don't mean missing children. I mean children that disappear and then on their own and don't let their parents know, type of thing. I mean,
that's less and less, because my daughter, even though she's an adult, she would take her whole family and disappear into Texas or South Carolina or Oklahoma, and they wouldn't say anything to anybody. And I really laid into her this last time about it. You have to tell somebody, even if you're an adult, where you're going, because I don't want nothing bad to happen to my grandkids.
No.
No, I understand.
And if she's all the way in, well, let's say, Texas, and they totally disappear off the face of the earth, how am I supposed to know?
Right.
Exactly.
Nobody will end up looking for them if they don't tell anybody if they're going to be going somewhere.
I'm a grown adult. I mean, I'm in my 50s, and I have an app on my phone so that my sister always knows where I am when I go on my trips. And even if somebody takes me and leaves the phone behind, at least she'll know where my last position was. You know what I mean? Also, I'm in contact with her practically every, no, not practically. I'm in contact with her every day, multiple times a day, not because, you know, in case I disappear, just because that's how we are. So if it was to go, if you, you know, 24 hours without any kind of contact with me whatsoever, she'd be concerned. She'd contact the cops, you know, because here's her older sister out camping by herself, and she'd send somebody looking. So, and we're grown adults, and we do that.
Well, in the same token, my 18-year-old stalks me.
That's a true story.
we're on a family thing that she stalks me and says, "Hey, what are you doing there?" So yeah.
Yeah, we have this thing called Life 360. And
that's what we got.
Yeah.
So if I say I'm going to Walmart and I'm at Taco Time, which is in the next plaza next door, she'll be like, "I thought you went to Walmart."
Right? Or why are you going in that, and why are you taking that route?
Yep.
But no, but I mean, so yes, modern technology, I mean, it has a lot of good things to it. It's made it easier to keep track of people, but it's also made it easier for the bad guys.
Yep.
It's a double-edged sword, as they say.
Yes.
Because,
and that's why I also said earlier that, you know, there's a lot I don't believe on social media and a lot that I laugh at because I know it's BS. But when somebody posts something like what I posted in our badass room and even on our national was the hand signal.
Yeah.
That saved that one girl, that one TikToker girl.
Right.
Well, things like that I do pass on because there's so much that the general public doesn't know because they don't look into that stuff.
Right. No, you're right.
And the same thing with whenever something comes up with your vehicle at a Walmart or a grocery store. Yeah, I pass them
along
because they're good tips. That's what survey. You're reading what?
I was just reading this thing where this lady was actually followed from International Airport.
Sorry, my cat.
Yeah. See, and it's so. Believe it when somebody posts something that, you know, hey, don't touch that card on your windshield. Don't touch, because for one, you don't know if it's laced with something that'll make you pass out.
Right.
Now it's a bottle of the tire.
Bottom of your tire. Yep. Especially around Christmas time, the same. I'm sure it's going to start going around Facebook again because around Christmas time, as you're approaching your vehicle, look underneath of it.
Right.
Somebody
not
could be
that,
laying in wait and reach out with a scalpel or even just a knife and slit your Achilles tendon for you to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And see, a lot of people laugh about that or they don't believe it, but guess what? It happens.
Also, too, people in the back seat of your car, if you know you locked your door, or even if you don't, you know, you don't remember if you locked your door or not, if you go out in your car and it's not locked, you better make sure and look in the windows before you get in it.
Right, especially if you got tenant windows.
Right.
I was
people
just going to say that when you were talking about the van thing, the windows can get tinted so dark nowadays that you cannot see in them.
Joe,
now, people think that it's just a horror movie, but it's not.
And they're not, and it's not just vans. That's the thing.
No.
There's people on motorcycles.
Yep. You can be anything.
Exactly, and it's, you know, and again, it's not to scare anybody. It's just putting information out to keep an eye on your surroundings, no matter where you're at. And I don't care if you're a man, woman, or child. Teach your kids.
It's common sense stuff.
But the way that you teach your kids, you don't want to throw it out there, you know, to scare them. You just talk to them normal. That's what I did. And all my kids have thanked me when it comes to that. They're like, you know, you really, you know, a lot of people think I'm paranoid, but I'm not. I scour everything when I walk. Because even my daughter said, you know, she's like, Dad, I see you. She's like, you got your eye on your phone, but you also got your eye looking around. I'm like, yeah, because you just never know when something's going to pop up. Especially the poor guy at the Walmart that tried to stab me.
I guess that was the last time he tried to do something like that.
Oh, they were worried he was dead. But that's just, that's what I'm saying. That's being aware of your surroundings. Now, you know, granted, I've got the ability. I know what to look for, but the average person don't.
You can learn.
Yeah, you got to teach yourself. And it's not a hard thing to do, and it's not being paranoid. Being paranoid at everything and everybody around you. I'm not saying that. I don't like crowds, but that's because of my PTSD. Do I go into crowds? It depends on the situation. But I'm more of a stand back and observe before I even attempt to go into a crowd.
Yeah, I have social anxiety. I'm not paranoid, but I avoid crowds. I mean, you know, I can go into them, but it's very stressful.
Well, see, I was a little brat when I was growing up. I used to go to the mall.
No, not you.
I used to go to the mall, and I used to crack everybody up because I'd be walking in the mall, especially around Christmas time because it's jam-packed, and I'll stop in the middle of the mall, and I'll just look up. And then all of a sudden, you got everybody looking up, and you look around, and when you got enough people, you just scratch your head and you walk away.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
You turn around and look, they're still looking up.
That's mean.
Now, don't tell me you never did this on an elevator. Before you got off, you press every button.
I've done that as an adult.
I've done it with people inside of it.
Yeah, I know. I've done that
in a federal building.
Oh, that's
good. I had the security guard, the guard come running up. He's like, man, he says, I want to bust you so bad, but he says, that's funny shit.
You're a troublemaker.
Hey, you got to have fun. I ain't hurting nobody. What?
No.
Oh, God. Made a Mr. Floor. But see, as a kid, yeah, we did our things, but I didn't do anything that hurt anybody's property or
right.
to hurt anybody.
Yeah, we weren't destructive.
No.
And here's another thing that I just run across here. We got this, they believe he's 15 to 19 year old, and he was found dead, and nobody reported him missing, and they don't have any idea who they are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see,
they said he was
we also...
elsewhere. That makes me think that he might have been a abducted child and then done with them type of thing.
Right. Just like what I read off, you know, about
yeah.
the unidentifieds. When they're done, a lot of times they're not going to release you.
Yeah, he was
no.
found.
They don't want to risk your time.
Long Beach, California. He was killed elsewhere, dumped on a sidewalk on Division Street. An examination revealed the young man had been strangled. He had been between 15 and 19 years old, 5'7", 145 pounds, with brown hair, hazel eyes, a 3/8-inch scar above the right eyebrow, freckles, wearing a blue pocket T-shirt. He had a stamp on the back of his hand, right hand. It was most likely that he had been at some kind of event shortly before the death, a bar, concert, nightclub, maybe. Authorities don't believe that he was running a runaway or a transient, and they asked, why is nobody missing him? I don't believe he had been in a physical fight that night. There's no mention of bruises or scrapes. He was killed elsewhere, perhaps at home. Did he come home late and relative lost control? With such identifying photo, DNA, and fingerprints, there is a good chance he can be identified.
Oh, wow.
Police department.
Yeah, see, and we got one right now, right from right here. He's a senior. He's supposed to graduate in three months from USC. And he was at the Gamecocks game Saturday, went to a bar, left the bar, and he always contacts his parents every day no matter what, whether it be a text or a phone call. When he left that last bar Saturday night, from there until he supposedly, the last phone call his dad got was at 11:30 Saturday night, that he was walking back to his dorm. Well, he went missing, and they reported him missing Sunday. Now, I caught a glimpse of the news earlier, and they said that they found a body in the quarry. Now, that's the same quarry that a few months ago, another person climbed that fence, and they found him down inside the quarry dead. And that
oh,
was
wow.
a suspicious death. So the helicopter spotted a body down there today. Now they're waiting for law enforcement to be able to get down into the rock quarry at the bottom to recover the body. They don't know who it is.
Wow.
But see, again, these being suspicious deaths, you know, like the last one that they found down there. This quarry has fencing up, and it's got razor wire at the top. They didn't find no fingerprints or cells of that last person they found down in there.
Hmm.
No blood, you know, on the razor wire, nothing like that.
Dropped off.
Right. Who and why are they doing this to college kids?
Maybe because they wouldn't take the vaccine. Who knows? Yeah, I'm not trying to be facetious, but
no,
I mean it's got to be, you know, if it's not for sex trade, because I mean, what else are you going to take teenagers for? They don't work,
right?
I mean, let's face it, they're lazy. But, you know, I mean, so it's going to be the sex trade where you can keep them drugged up. You know what I mean?
Or they, what do they call that word?
Organ transplants? Organ stuff?
No, I wasn't going to get into that. But I'm saying they're groomed because they're young. Yes, some of them probably are trafficked and used for sex, but also being groomed to fit in to grab whatever other kids that their handlers are telling them to grab.
Well, it depends on how young they are. There's no way a 17 or 18-year-old or a college student you're going to convince that easily. You know what I mean?
Oh, here's a good one. 35 years ago, a 9-year-old girl was taken from her home in the middle of the night where Antoinette Cayadito. On the evening of April 5th, 1986, Penny hired a babysitter to look after her daughters while she went to Talk of the Town bar with friends. According to Penny, she returned home at midnight, sent the babysitter home, fell asleep around 3 a.m., after talking with Antoinette, who she allowed to stay up late that night. According to authorities, it was at 7 a.m. the next morning while Penny was waking her daughters up for Sunday school that she first realized Antoinette wasn't in her bed, let alone in the house. She reported her daughter missing at 11, but the search didn't begin until the next day. This was a time before the Amber Alert existed, and authorities refused to file a missing persons report until 8 hours passed. Went looking for her around the house, nothing. I didn't start panicking until we checked with all the neighbors, went to every house, and nobody had seen her. Antoinette lived in 204 Arnold Circle in Gallup, New Mexico, with her mother, Penny, two younger sisters, Wendy and Sadie. According to Charlie's Project, the 9-year-old was nicknamed Squirrel. She is 9 years old, and they wouldn't put a missing person on her.
Huh.
And her favorite color is purple. She was described that's a good example right there.
Did that make national news? Because that sounds familiar.
It was a day ago. And on the Vipers against.
No, 70 years ago. You said she went missing 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if that made national news because that story sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if it says anything about being put on the news. It doesn't say nothing. I'm just skimming because it's a very long article.
I was just curious because when you were telling about it and then you mentioned that bar, you know, and the kid missed it, you know, it sounded really familiar. That's all.
I'll send it over to Telegram. Sent.
Oh, thanks. I'll take a look at it. I'm keeping it on mute because I'm getting some echoing, so I'm thinking it. I don't know whose phone it is, but just in case it's mine.
Yeah, because you guys sound clear to me.
another one missing 26 years ago.
I mean, you gotta wonder, at what point do these parents give up?
True parents never give up.
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. Because everybody's like, oh, well, you know, they must be dead or this, that, or the other thing. But I am not a parent. I don't have children. So, you know, I mean, you got to wonder, you know, I feel for these parents. I think if I was a parent, I'd rather the dead body show up. You know what I mean? Because then at least I'd know.
Some closure.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember this story was, it made national news.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's just like all these years later, you know, the investigator screwed up the JonBenet-Renee Ramsey case, too.
Oh, yeah. I definitely remember that case.
Abused at Christian summer camp. Survivors say they've been kept silent. That's another thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, children go missing a lot, and it's bad enough when they go missing and nobody reports them or that nobody realizes that they're missing, okay? But when children go missing and they're reported and police, and I know that it's not their personal decision not to look. That's just, you know, the way it's on the books, you know, they're not allowed to go looking for them for 24 hours or whatever it is. But the point is the fact that, you know, we've already got so many missing children. Why do we allow more to go missing? You know, create a volunteer group for each police station. I am sure that people are willing to volunteer a couple of hours a week or whatever to help for missing persons, to create a missing persons task force. Did I lose you guys?
No. I'm just reading something. Come across an article about investigators trying to identify hundreds of bodies in Miami. Published November 20th. Yeah. Investigators trying to identify hundreds of bodies in Miami. Published November 20th.
What year?
This year. Well, that's when it was published. But the guy was, what was he doing? 25 years ago, a man feeding ducks with his nephew spotted a cardboard box wrapped in rope and duct tape floating down a Miami Lakes canal. Thinking that might be something valuable, they corralled the box, opened it, and were immediately met with the smell of rotting flesh. It was no treasure. Instead, discovery on October 29th, 1996, was the body of a short young woman with shoulder-length dark hair, and she had been murdered. Now police say they're hoping for new DNA. But I don't get where they're saying hundreds of bodies. I'm looking right now. Oh, across Miami-Dade, there are over 300 cases of unidentified bodies still waiting to be identified, of which 233 are considered active cases with a good shot at being solved. Some of the dead have been murdered, some for natural causes.
Yeah, it wasn't what I thought it was. It's just, it seems like in one area is where they're finding all these bodies from. The earliest one is from 1957.
Wow. Texas. I don't know. It just, it seems like people are just, it just is get, society's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity, I don't know, you know, how else to put it. We, I don't know. It's maybe it is the end of days. I mean, well, not maybe, it is. But I just, sometimes I deliberately go and look for good stories, you know, happy stories, because there's only so much evil, you know, you can take. And that's what this shit is, evil. But I don't know.
Bobby, you napping?
No, I'm here.
Oh.
He's just waiting for us to talk.
No, I'm doing the same thing that Lorna's doing right now.
Sure you are. No, I mean, but seriously, I mean, there are a lot of stories out there of children that went missing decades ago and were never found.
Well, this is pretty weird here. They're showing a video clip of these two young boys that I guess they were murdered by John Wayne Gacy, and nobody's claiming who these boys are.
Really? That's odd.
Yeah.
You know what I like is there have been a couple of stories that not many, but there have been a couple where children are kidnapped and they are found decades later and, you know, living with the people who kidnapped them because they were missing a child, you know, their child died or whatever, or they were kidnapped as infants and then sold on the black market to people who wanted to adopt babies but couldn't qualify, you know, to adopt one legally. And the children are found. There's been a couple of movies. There's actually been a couple of movies made about a couple of those children. Really interesting.
Yeah, it's just a shame, you know, especially all the years ago missing, and you know, it always runs cold chills through my body when they say, "Oh, 39 years later, we just dug up so and so."
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I said. That's why I, even though. There can be problems. It's nice when they do find the children alive. Some of them had happy lives, you know, they had been stolen by somebody that wanted a child. You know what I mean? So even though it may have been wrong, at least the child was found happy and healthy.
Another thing too.
Very often.
I don't know.
Happened a few times, but it's nice when you get to hear about something like that.
I don't know if you remember the story back in the 80s of, John Walsh had reported it and everything, but it was called I Know My Name is Steven.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. That's one of them that I was talking about.
Okay, I was stationed with his brother.
Uh-huh.
And it's really sad because when he finally did get back home and he got married, he had a baby, he was riding his motorcycle across the Bay Bridge from Oakland into San Francisco.
Right.
And somebody hit him on the bridge and killed him outright.
Oh.
But see,
no, I didn't know
and he was only a few houses down from where his parents and his family lived.
Yes,
and nobody knew it.
Yes, I vaguely remember that story. That's what I said, you know, that's one of the stories I remember, you know, that had that situation where the kid, you know, was found. And it was really strange how he was found. I think it was him. Didn't he go to the doctors for some reason or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. And it was a shame that, you know, he come home, and I think it was like a couple days before his 21st birthday is when he got killed on that bridge.
Right.
But I, like I said, I was stationed with his brother.
Wow. Yeah, you got to feel for, you know, in situations like that for people. It's just, you know, you never know.
Well, here's something weird. 13 stillborn deaths in 24 hours. Rally in Lionsgate Hospital in Vancouver, British Columbia.
When?
November 16th, 2021 is when it was posted.
Yeah, but when were the stillbirths?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a video.
I mean, you know.
It had to have been recently.
I know. There have been a lot of issues in the last few weeks with babies being born stillborn or having heart conditions and dying. You know, and, you know, from vaccinated people. That's why I was asking.
Oh, that ain't happening. You know that. The vaccines are safe.
Sarcasm does not become you. I had to think for a minute there. Oh. I'm telling you, I mean, it's bad enough. We've got, you know, children disappearing, and now we've got them dying. It just, you know.
Right, and that's, you know, that's why I'm glad that we have dived back into doing these shows. Because, like I said, you know, any way we can get the word out there. And
well, anytime I get, yeah, whenever I see those signs on the highway about keep an eye for this car, you know, because of a missing child, you know, an Amber Alert thing, because I don't know about down in South Carolina, but here are signs, you know, the signs here on the highway or the speed limit thing. They flash whenever there's an Amber Alert. Keep your eye out for such and such a vehicle.
Yeah, we got the same thing.
Yeah.
But we also got which you can, you know, customize it to your phone. I got that news break.
Oh, yeah. I have that, too. I get the Amber Alert.
And, yeah, they always alert whenever there's an adult or child missing.
Yep, I get those. Yeah, I get those Amber Alerts.
But that's, you know, again, like I said, sharing posters that are on social media is one way to help. And us diving back into these shows also helps, because like I said, our radio show goes nationwide and global. And that's why I always try to say, if you know something, say something.
Right.
Even if it's little, it could be the one piece that's missing in a case that'll
right.
open it up to the investigators.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, you never know when you know something that could help.
Oh. And
I know this year they're still catching people. Not as much as they were because they cut funding. But I still hear about how the FBI, or I forget what the organization is called, task force is called, but they're still arresting human traffickers and arresting people that did it.
Right. And it's just like down here also, they have, I'm trying to find it. They just busted another sex trafficking ring on the internet, and I am not finding it. Right here in Lexington, South Carolina, they did a pornography slash tied into a sex trafficking. They busted six people. And I can't find it now. And I had it marked so that I could talk about it on the show.
Well, I'm sure Facebook people kind of made it disappear for you.
Well, no, it's not on Facebook. It's on my my news break.
Oh. Well, that don't mean nothing, because I was just trying to look up a couple articles earlier today about Kyle, and right away, web page is not available.
Excuse me, Lorna, in Waterloo, Ontario region, between January and June of 2021, there were 86 stillbirths. When the usual number is 5 to 6, did you know there were 13 stillbirths in a 24-hour period in British Columbia at Women's and Children's Hospital in Vancouver? Is that what you read?
Yeah, but I didn't. It only showed about the 13 stillborns in 24 hours.
Yeah, well, I'm in some interesting groups. This one was posted by somebody who lives there in that area, and So 86 stillbirths. That's 80 more than normal in a 6-month period. And 13 of them in a 24-hour period, and I guess they're refusing to admit that it's related to the vaccine.
Yeah, of course,
because that's the group I'm in. So they must know that it's the vaccine that's doing it. But you know, so how many children are being harmed by this? I mean, think about it. Because of COVID,
all of them,
and the lockdowns and the masks, we have lost so many children to suicide, drugs, and human trafficking.
All kids are affected in one way or another by this idiot running our country.
You know, and then, and you know, all the, everything that they're doing is affecting our children either right now or will affect them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
But again, it had nothing to do with the with their safe vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out, that article about the 13 children. My grandson was just born, was just stillborn at a Vancouver hospital at 8.5 months into the pregnancy. My daughter got the damn poison vaccine 1 month ago because she couldn't go to restaurants and people were freaking out that she was unvaxxed. I want to sue the government. I guess that's what started it, because the tweet, the one I read about the Ontario thing, that's a post. I don't know if it's Facebook or Gab, but yeah, it's awful. It is. And the children are suffering. I mean, there's got to be something. There's got to be a way to stop them from doing this. Now they want to vaccinate infants and toddlers.
Oh yeah, they want everybody, because again, it's, you know, it's a toss up. Either those that aren't dying and only just getting a little sick are basically getting shot up with just saline.
The thing
so
is,
you got to do that. You got to do that
so
to throw
100%.
Us off.
It goes against the Constitution. It goes against the freaking Nuremberg Code. I cannot believe that Austria and Europe are allowing themselves to go through what they did with the Nazis. And it's not, I mean, it's barely 50 years. Some of them are probably survivors or children of survivors and have personal stories. How are we doing this? And we're going to do it to our children and our grandchildren. We're turning them into robots.
Right.
We're going to save them only to destroy them?
Well, that's why they're doing this, is to throw you off track that, oh yeah, the shots are safe. Yeah, they're only safe if you get the placebo.
Yeah.
So that they're directing the attention away from the actual people that are getting the actual shot, that are dying, and that are winding up, you know, having these miscarriages and whatnot.
Yeah,
that's how they're getting around the Nuremberg Code.
The Nuremberg Code was that no government can force people to take any kind of medical experiment or any kind of medical experiment or not medical. They can't force them to do a medical thing. It goes against the Nuremberg Code. These mandates go against the Constitution, but they're avoiding it by making the businesses do it. Do you know Aldi's is firing every employee who is unvaccinated?
Yeah.
I'm not shopping there anymore.
Here's another one missing from South Carolina. He's got dementia and Parkinson's disease. 79-year-old was last seen wearing jeans, blue sweatshirt with Shenandoah Valley printed on it and gray slip-on shoes in the Murrells Inlet, South Carolina. They're asking for the public's help to find missing man who suffers from dementia and Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow.
He was last seen at 11 a.m. Monday, November 22nd, near his home in Murrells Inlet. Basham, who is 79, was last seen wearing jeans, blue sweatshirt with Shenandoah Valley printed on it, and gray slip-on shoes. He's approximately 5'8", 159 pounds. They say he may...
You said Inlet, so does that mean it's near water?
Yeah, it's down by the beach.
Right.
Police say he may be driving a 2012 Toyota RAV4 with South Carolina license plate T as in Thomas, H as in home, R as in roof, 330.
I'd check the waterways. I don't know. I would check the waterways on that.
Right. So,
because
you know,
he could have driven
again,
into the water or, you know, walked into it either by accident or on purpose or, you know, he didn't really pay. What, you know, because if he has dementia, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
Or, you know,
but,
he had a moment of lucidity and didn't want to live that way. So, you know, I mean, I hope they started looking for him immediately.
Well, from what the article says, apparently they did the minute that they noticed that he was gone.
And you don't know how long he was missing before they noticed.
It was only hours.
Well, that's good. Hopefully they find him safe.
But that just, you know, that just goes to show what we've been talking about is that it doesn't matter what age you are. People go missing.
No.
That's
oh,
the
definitely.
Bottom point. I mean, unfortunately, it happens a lot with people with underlying conditions like this.
Right.
But it's even harder when it's a child.
Yep. Well, I keep him in my prayers. That's the only thing you can do, really.
At this time, yes. Unfortunately, I agree with you.
One of the reasons, you know, why my plan when I retired was to travel the country, you know, living out of my camper. I wanted to be available for things like, you know, they need help looking for somebody or, you know, there's a disaster area and they need people to help do whatever. I mean, there's only so much maybe that I can do, but I can do something so that somebody with a better skill can do what something else. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, but because there just aren't enough people out there, I don't want to say willing to help, but able to help either, you know, because they have their own lives, you know, their own jobs, their own children, their own families that they have to worry about. Can't drop whatever they're doing to go help look for, like, this gentleman. Do you know what I mean? It's not a question
right.
of they don't care or they don't want to, but, you know, they have obligations. And
here's another soldier missing from Fort Bliss Army Base Barracks in El Paso. Daniel Dixon.
Huh.
That's interesting. How long has he been missing?
It was posted 5 days ago.
Hey, Lorna, I got a message for you.
Oh, dear God, help me.
Savannah said she needs you to come back.
Uh-oh.
But actually, she only wants Ralph.
I thought the best
thing was that. Tell her it's time for her to get her ass out of the house and go for a road trip.
She said it's time for you to get your ass out of the house and go for a road trip.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. This kid misses you.
Oh, I bet. We had some conversations, boy.
I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to know. Because if it was conversations between you and her, I know they couldn't have been good. Oh, shoot, where'd you guys go? Lost yous. That was weird.
Did everybody get cut off?
Just you guys.
That's because we're talking about missing people. They don't want them to be found.
Probably.
Or, and I just brought up the military guy being missing.
Right.
I don't know what the hell happened. I got thrown off. I heard this really weird pop and then got disconnected. You were talking about
that's what happened to Lorna, too.
Yep, me too.
That's what happened to Lorna, too.
Weird.
But like Lorna just said, they probably don't want to hear us talking about the missing, especially the military.
Yep, because I just brought up.
Well, you think somebody did it.
Yeah, because I was the only one left on.
But you're the one in control of the station. Why wouldn't they remove you?
You got me.
God, I hate the government.
Well, because they can't, unless you're threatening somebody, they have no say on what you talk about.
Oh. Well, I'm not going to threaten anybody. I just, you know, I think you're all crazy.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I like Blog Talk to begin with, because it's not run by the FCC.
Right.
You can say what you want as long as you're not threatening nobody or obscuring justice.
Oh, yeah, I would never do that.
No.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've got a lot of idiots in power, but, you know, they'll get their comeuppance for, you know, want of a better term when God, you know, gets back. When God takes over, so I'm not going to threaten them. Don't need to. But at any rate, back to the missing soldier. Do they have any information on it?
I don't know. I lost it now since I got booted off.
Oh. No, but it's just amazing, you know, the number of missing people and where they are type of thing. In other words, like, there have been a lot of military people missing lately.
Mostly
and,
from Texas.
Yeah, and it seems to be the same forts. You know what I mean? A number of them that came up missing or dead were from the same fort. I know Fort Bragg had a couple that, you know, it's just really weird. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm not in the military. I don't know how that crap works, you know, but it just seems like really odd to me. Every time I turn around, there was a missing one. Or what about that one where there were like 4 suicides within a week or something?
Yep.
All at the same fort, and nobody finds that odd.
Well, the case at the one base, I don't know if it was Fort, I forget which base it was, but they think that the one that they found suicided was a serial killer. Well, that's what the government's saying.
So in other words, the government.
Well, that or they're covering something up.
Right.
I just know that there was one fort, and that that one fort had like 3 or 4 suicides within a matter of weeks or days or something. And I could see where it would be a serial killer, or they were, you know, something the government did it. But whatever the case may be, it just is like really weird, that's all. I mean, it's just a lot of really odd stuff.
Well, see, that's just like, you know, there's a lot of stories that you don't hear as being public, because unless you're in the military and know
right.
what's going on, there's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of unsolved deaths.
Yeah, that's my point. There's a lot of weird shit going on lately.
And that's not just now. That's always been. I mean, you know, you hear stories with sailors on ships that, oh, they had a man overboard and they couldn't find the body. That's because apparently somebody at night watch, somebody didn't like them. And, you know, this is just my opinion because I don't know, because I really wasn't shipboard that long.
Right.
But, you know, they go missing in the middle of the night. You don't know whether they turned somebody in for something and the group beat the crap out of them. Because I always heard about what they call blanket parties.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
And, you know, being on watch on board ship, you're outside the ship. And, you know, you never know is what I'm saying. And they covered up that, oh, he must have fell over the side.
Yes, it is weird.
All right, we have 3 minutes left to the show, so I'm going to close this down.
Before we go, did you ever hear of this group called Veterans for Child Rescue?
I was just reading that before we came on the show tonight.
I just seen it right now.
Is that the one I shared?
No.
Oh, I shared one too about veterans with children, saved children.
Yeah, in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I read that one, too. I saw what you posted. I know what Lauren is talking about, too, because I was just starting to read that when I looked at the time, and I was like, oh, shoot, we're getting ready to start the show. So,
okay.
Again, ladies, thank you for being here with me tonight. Let's get that word out about all of our missing. And God bless you both. God bless America, our troops, our first responders, our veterans, our military, and God bless the Defender 7.
God bless.
Good night, ladies.
Tonight.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.